Today's shiur in the Masechta Bava Basra Daf Kuf Beis. We will begin on Daf Kuf Aleph from the Beis, three lines from the bottom. Before we begin the shiur, Chazal were particularly concerned that once someone is buried, he should not be removed from his burial space. There are many reasons given by the Mefarshim as to why. One reason is because of Nivel HaMeis. In the course of exhuming the body could be disfigured, dismembered, which certainly would be Nivel HaMeis. Others explain that the reason is because of Bezoyin HaMeis. And in the explanation of Bezoyin HaMeis, I actually saw two ways of understanding. One is, again, taking the body out of the ground is a Bezoyin, is not covered for the mace. Another pshat is that if there's a cemetery with people buried there and somebody's taken out and the others are left, it's a bezoyin to those that are left. And that's the bezoyin hamace. Others explain cherdas hadin. We know that a person after he leaves the world goes through din Torah, goes through giving a din v'cheshbon in shemayim, and that experience, as we could explain it, is obviously a very traumatic experience. And if a body is taken out, that body assumes that he's going to have to go through that experience again. Another pshat, Reb Moshe says an interesting pshat, is that there's a mitzvah of kvura, there's a mitzvah to bury every person who passes away. And the mitzvah of kvura is that the person who passes away, Rechamon Tzlan, remain buried until Tchias HaMesim. And therefore, if we take the body out before Tchias HaMesim, we'll be mevatel the mitzvah of kvur. The Paiskim do say that under certain circumstances, it is permissible to take out a body. They give a number of examples. Certainly, if there's a situation with a cemetery where a person was buried, there's a concern it will be destroyed, ruined, and the body will be affected, you're allowed to exhume a mace. Another hat that they give is if someone was buried, if a Jew was buried in a non-Jewish cemetery, you know, a Jew is not supposed to be buried in a non-Jewish cemetery. If he was buried in such a cemetery, and that is an opportunity to take him out, we're allowed to take him out. Another situation is if the person was not buried together with the rest of the family, and that is an opportunity to take him out in order to be able to bury him with the rest of his family. Other Paiskim say that if a person was buried in Chutz Loretz, there's a special kapara to a nifter who's buried in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore if he was buried in Chutz Loretz, he may be taken to Eretz Yisrael. The Maral Bach says that this heter is such a strong heter that even if we know that this nifter was not interested in being buried at Yisrael, as long as he never gave explicit instructions that he not be buried in Eretz Yisrael, we're allowed to take him to Eretz Yisrael. Again, in all of these situations, a shayla should be asked to a rav. But the point we're trying to understand is that a mace who's buried properly in a Jewish cemetery, the halacha is, should be taken to kvura. Here our Gemara now begins discussing if he wasn't buried properly in a Jewish cemetery, what is the din? So Gemara says, Tanan Hasan, we learned in the Mishnah in Masecht Olos, Hamaitzi Meis Mushkev Kedarkoi. If a mace is found laying on the ground, Mushkev Kedarkoi, buried in the proper way, which as the Gemara explains, the halacha is that the proper way a person is supposed to be buried is laying on his back with his hands on his body. In fact, the Shor Mitzion Balacha says that it's very important that when someone is buried, he be buried in the way that's the minig Yisrael for all Niftarim to be buried, should not be buried in a different way. He says that if somebody is buried differently, the fact that he's not buried in the regular way draws attention as best as we can explain it, draws attention to why is he not being buried in the same way as everyone else, and it causes him to have a special din. And that's why he gives certain examples of what should not be done differently. He gives an example that the matseva, where a headstone is used, it should be put at the head of the body of the person passed away, not at the feet. He says that in Klal Yisrael, the minig is that niftarim are buried with their feet towards the entrance, towards the gate of the Beis HaKfaris, symbolizing that we believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim, that we're going to get up and walk out of the Beis HaKfaris by Tchiyas HaMeisim. And again, he makes a very important point. All of these minhagim are minhagim, even though we can ask questions on the minhagim. For example, this minig that Nifter is buried with his feet towards the exit of the cemetery, we know that the Gemara says that when Tchiyas HaMeisim comes soon, we will not, the people, the Niftarim are not going to walk out of the cemetery. They're going to go through Mechilas. They're going to go through underground tunnels, Teretz Yisrael. But still, these Menhagim have to be followed. So says the Mishnah Masechta Olos, HaMoitzi Mace. If somebody finds a mace, and as the Rashbam says that the Gemara in Masechta Nazar, I believe, says HaMoitzi Mace, means that he was buried without us knowing until now that there was anybody there, buried there. That means, were we to be certain that this person was buried there, specifically, or were we to know that he was killed, that the halach is that a person that's killed is buried on that spot, so then all the discussion, if he could be removed, doesn't begin. He's not allowed to be moved. Here we just find a mace, and we don't know what his status was, and his mushkif kedarkoi, and he's buried the way Jews are buried. That means, were he buried in a sitting position, the Gemara says, then the halacha would be different. Machloikis rishonim, what does that mean? Some rishonim say that even a mace who's found buried sitting, where there's a real concern that he's a goy, because Jews aren't buried that way, still the halacha that we're about to learn, that when he's taken, you have to take some earth with him, will be the same halacha. Other Rishonim disagree. The Rashbam's opinion is that if he's not buried in the way Jews are buried, then we assume he's a goy, and the din of tfusa doesn't apply. And the Aruch HaShulchan explains what is the basis of this machlokes Rishonim. He says it goes to a more fundamental question: if a mace, if somebody who passed away who's not Jewish is osur b'hanor. If we hold that even a non-Jewish mace is osur b'hanor, the halacha will be if tfusa, taking along the tfusa will apply to a goy. If, however, we don't hold, as the Rashbam's opinion is, that a goy is not osur b'hanor, a goy who's a mace is not osur b'hanor, then the halacha will be that you don't have to take along the tfusa. So says the Mishnah, if you find a mace buried in the proper way, but it's only one mace, and therefore we don't have any reason to believe that this is a cemetery, the halacha is noitloi, he can be removed. This is a situation where a mace can be removed. Ve'es tfusasoi, and the earth with him is taken. How much the tfusa is? Is a machloikis rishonim. Some rishonim say the tfusa is 3 tfachim deep, the earth under him for 3 tfachim. Other rishonim say that the tfusa is 3 etzba'os. The rishonim also say, what is the source for es tfusasoi, that the tfusoi is taken along with the mace? It's a pasuk in the Torah, where Yaakov Avinu tells his children when he's going to be buried, that he should be removed from Mitzrayim. It says, unsosani mi Mitzrayim. That means, take along with me from Mitzrayim, take along the tfusa. Although, the Tosfos Yontif asks the obvious question, Yaakov Avinu wasn't buried in Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu requested, and his request was fulfilled, that he be taken to Eretz Yisrael. So what does it mean, Sosani with Mitzrayim, to take a long part of Mitzrayim with me? So he answers the Chidah, beautiful Teretz. The Chidah says that Yaakov Avinu was aware of this din, that if you take along that if somebody's buried, you have to like along with the tefusa. And Yaakovin was concerned that if he'll be buried in Mitzrayim, then when he's removed from Mitzrayim, the tefusa, the Eretz Mitzrayim, will be taken along with him, something which disturbed him terribly. So he says, in order that that shouldn't chas v'sholem happen to me, the part of Mitzrayim should travel along with me, be careful to bury me in Eretz Yisrael immediately, not to have that happen to me. So night leves tefusasoi, since he wasn't buried in a regular cemetery. Continues the Mishnah saying, Shnayim, if two people are buried in such a fashion, the halacha is Noitlan Ves Tfusasan, the same din applies. However, Motze Shloisha, if there are three bodies buried there, then the halacha is as follows. Im Yesh Beinayim Arba Vatshmoina, if the three bodies that are found are in a space that's either less than 4 tefachim or less than 8 tefachim, and we'll explain this in a moment before, but it's very specific that the area that they're buried in is either within less than 4 tefachim or within less than 8 tefachim, then this is considered tzitzaraya, that this is a cemetery. Hareza shchunas kfaris. So now we have here a place that's a Shchunas Kfaris, it's considered a cemetery. And as the Rimi Gash explains the Gemara, the entire exercise that the Gemara here is referring to of checking and knowing is because in Eretz Yisrael, they had to know what was Tameh, what was Tahar. Because they were makbid on Tameh and Tahar, you couldn't eat kachim and other foods, but Tumah and Kohanim certainly. So this is why you need to know where is a cemetery, so it should be separated. Furthermore, it's important to note, as we get further into the shir, it really is ready from the previous shir, all of these shurim that we're speaking about in this Gemara applied in the times of Chazal, that this is the way bodies were buried. The Paiskim say, this is not just Paiskim nowadays, but a couple hundred years, where cemeteries are sort of unfortunately tight for space, so that Niftarim are typically buried close to each other, and the halacha is different. But again, says the Mishnah, if three bodies were found in an area of less than 4 or less than 8 amis, so the halacha is a reza shchunas kfaris, we have a proof that this is an area of a cemetery, and therefore the halacha is, ubaydik mimenu lahalan esrim amma. We have to start checking 20 amis from the where the last body is found, to determine if there are any other bodies, and to see how far the cemetery is, that it should be dealt with as a cemetery. And therefore, says the Mishnah, Matz ech besoif esrim amma, if in checking these 20 amma, we find another mace, so then, by the gemen alachal chaf amma, we have to continue checking. Why? Shuragayim ledover. We have reason to believe, since we had these three neftarim buried here, that this is a cemetery. If you had only found one body, then the halach would be very different. The Rishayim already ask, the Mishnah that we're quoting from Masecht Olos distinguishes between finding one body or two bodies versus three bodies. Why? We've learned many times, the halacha is, the Gemara says, meis mitzvah koina mekoimai, that a person who's a meis mitzvah, where he's buried is his place. So why, even if we only found one body, should we not be concerned that this is a meis mitzvah, that we're not allowed to move? So Mitzvah says that typically, chiddush, the Mitzvah says that typically, if a meis mitzvah is buried, there's a call, people are aware that a meis mitzvah was found and buried there, and when a meis mitzvah, and therefore the halacha is different. Here, it was saying, and therefore, if we don't have any knowledge that this body that was found is a meis mitzvah, we on our own don't have to assume that it was a meis mitzvah. Other mefarshim say that all of the dinim that we've been discussing in our shir, in our introductory remarks, that you're not allowed to move a body, are really all midrabbonim. The rabbis said these are all dinim midrabbonim. And therefore, sofik midrabbonim, we could go lekul. Now the Gemara begins to analyze what we just learned. Olamar, we just learned that if the body, these three bodies were found, either Me'arba in an area of less than 4 amos, or V'atshmoin in an area of less than 8 amos, we have to assume that this was a cemetery. Ask the Gemara, referring back to what was learned in the previous staff. Mani, whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbanan, if we're going to say it reflects the opinion of Rabbanan, Ha'amri Dalar Amos L'Sheish. The Rabbanan say that what is the way the kuchen, these caves in which Mason were buried, how were they constructed? The back wall, according to Rabbanan, was 4 amos wide, and the 2 side walls were 6 amos wide. So why does the Mishnah here say that the shear is 4 to 8? That means, the Mishnah is saying, that we found 3 bodies, either it's in the back wall, which is 4 amos wide, or it's one of the side walls, which is up to 8 amos, they hold that the side walls are only 6 amos. Ear of Shimon, if on the other hand we want to say that this Mishnah reflects the opinion of Rav Shimon, Ha'amri, he says that the shear of these caves are Sheish al Shmaina, 6 by 8. So why, if it's found in an area with four amos, is it considered that this, we have reason to believe that this is a real cemetery? The back wall of the cemetery is not 6 amos wide, is not 4 amos wide according to Rav Shimon, it's 6 amos wide. Answers the Gemara, Loyal and Rav Shimon. This Mishnah does reflect the opinion of Rav Shimon, but as the Gemara is about to explain, there's a different version of what Rav Shimon holds is the size of the cave. The Tanya, Matzim Ritzufim, if the bodies were buried one next to each other, Ve'ein Mehen B'dalar Amos Atches, and Ve'ein Meneim, and the proper separation, that you could have only 3 bodies in the 4 Amos wall, or 6 bodies in the 8 Amos wall, Yeshlam Tfusa, the halach is that they may be moved, because it's not considered as if they're buried in a cemetery, and therefore it's not considered that they are buried in a cemetery. And since they're not buried in a real cemetery, they may be moved, but as we learned at the beginning of the shiur, when they're moved, you have to take the tfus so long. So according to the opinion of the Rabbanon, and we'll discuss this more later in the shiur, if they're not buried in an area that looks like a cemetery, it isn't a cemetery. And it's not considered that buried in a cemetery. If they're not buried in a cemetery, they're allowed to be moved. Rav Shimon disagrees. Rav Shimon ben Yehuda ben Mishim Rav Shimon, Roin es mitzoyin kil einon. If we have more bodies buried in an area than are supposed to, that means if you have more bodies than are prescribed, as we've learned and we'll continue learning, that there's a certain, each body takes up an amma, that there's no disagreement on that. There is a disagreement how much room you have to have between the different caves where the bodies are buried. But if you have more than that, Rav Shimon doesn't say that now we don't have a cemetery. According to Rav Shimon, we still have a cemetery. What we say is there were too many bodies pushed in here because there were extraordinary circumstances, and the halacha views those bodies as if they're not there, and this is considered a cemetery. V'shar mitzdarf medal amos v'tches. And therefore, we say that's still considered a cemetery, which has the proper dimensions of 4 amos the back wall and 8 amos the side walls. But what's relevant to our specific question was that the Mishnah said that the size of, for the Mishnah it was apparent that the size of a cave is 4 by 8. And we asked that based on the previous shear, we didn't see anybody subscribing to that shear of 4 by 8. Now we found the shear of 4 by 8. And as the Mefarshim, the Rashbam, explains at great length, what does that mean? This opinion of 4 by 8 says that each body takes up an amma, but according to this opinion, in between the bodies, you only need 2 tfachim. So therefore, let's think about the back wall. You'll have, according to this, 3 bodies buried in the back wall. That's 3 amos. Then you'll have 2 separations. There's another 4 tefachim. And then you'll have, on the side, 1 tefach. 4 plus 2 equals 6, which equals 4 amos. The sides, according to this opinion, you'll have 6 amos taken up for the 6 bodies that can be buried on the sides. And then again, with the separations of the two tfachim and the separations at the beginning and end, you'll have eight amos. You'll have eight amos. And that's the opinion of the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara. B'mayu kimta. So how have we explained this Mishnah? We've explained that this Mishnah follows the opinion of Shimon. And that the size of the cave is 4 by 8. Says the Gemara, aim is safer. Let's continue learning that Mishnah. By the Gemara of Halam, as we said, that once we see that the bodies are buried in this formation, we have three bodies in less than 4 amos or in less than 8 amos, we have strong reason, the Gemara's words, Shereglayim Ladover, we have strong reason to believe that this is a cemetery. And since we have strong reason to believe that this is a cemetery, the halach is by the kimenu lahalan, we have to do further inspection, esrim amma, up to 20 amas past this. Ask the Gemara Mani, how do we understand the number 20? Erev Shimon, if we're going to say that the safe of this Mishnah follows the opinion of Shimon, esrim etatin havin, we should need 22 amas. Why? Because according to Reb Shimon, each cave is 8 amos. So if it's 8 amos, we should have to be boidik 8 amos. Then we learned in the previous year there was a chotzer, there was a courtyard opening up to these caves, which was 6 amos. It's 8 plus 6. And then there'll be another cave, there's another 8. 8 plus 6 plus 8 equal 22. Whereas the Mishnah say you only have to be boidik 20. If on the other hand, I Rabbonon, if we're following the opinion of the Rabbanon, according to Rabbanon, the dimensions are 4 by 6. So if they're 4 by 6, when we start being boidic, we should have to check 6 amos. Then another 6 amos for the chotzer. Another 6 amos for the next cave. 6 times 3 is 18. So where do we get the number 20? It's interesting to note that the Rishonim ask, if the way we're being boidic, if the way we're inspecting is because we're taking into consideration that there's a chotzer here, in the chotzer, as we went in the previous year, nobody was buried. So why do we have to be boidic the whole 20 amos? We should only have to be boidic the place that we assume that there's a kever. So I did see that some Rishonim say, Enochanami, the area where there is a concern is only chotzer, we don't really have to do bedika. The Mishnah, when it speaks 20 amos, says that the bedika has to be within those 20 amos, but doesn't mean exactly all 20 amos. Because the area which we would assume is where the chotzer is, there's no reason to do bedika. Most Rishonim, however, disagree. And they're saying that you have to take the Mishnah for what the Mishnah says. That you have to do the 20 amos because our exact location may be off, and in order to be certain, you have to be bedika the whole 20 amos. But back to the Gemara's question, where does the number 20 come from? If we're following Rav Shimon's opinion, it should be 22. If we're following Rabbanim's opinion, it should be 18. Answers the Gemara, Lailam Rabbanim. It is following the Rabbanim. Going to Bodik Belach Soinu. What happened here is, if we would assume that one cave is right behind the other cave, so Rabbanim say, what is the length of the wall? 6 amos. But maybe the second cave is not directly behind it, but it's actually on a diagonal. Now, a diagonal, there's a mathematical formula that if you have a wall of a square that's 6 amos long, the diagonal of that square will really be 7.2. But as the Rashbam explains, we round it off to 8. So that's why, even though according to the opinion of the Rabbanon, the next Ma'oro, the next cave, should really be 6 amos long. And therefore, as the Gemara asked a moment ago, it should really be a total of 18. We are going to count the first Ma'oro as if we're measuring it on a slant, not on a straight line, and a slant will equal 8. So I'll have 8 plus 6 plus 6, which is 20. So again, there are two explanations in Rishonim why we measure this potential second cave on a slant, on an alachsin. One is, as I explained, because we don't know for sure that one is right behind the other, we have to be concerned that it's going on a slant. That's one way of explaining it. However, other Rishonim explain, we're very concerned here. We have here a situation where we have a mace buried here. And we're concerned that the person who's doing the bedikah is not going to do it properly. How can we be sure that he'll do the bedikah properly? We tell him to do the bedikah belachsen. Be very careful to look at every inch. And that's why we'll know for sure that he'll do it right. But ask the Gemara, if we're measuring on an alachsen, as I explained earlier, we're checking for two caves. And now the Gemara was mechadish, that when we're checking for the caves, we check on a diagonal. And therefore we don't consider the length of the wall just to be 6 amma, we consider the length of the wall to be 8 amma. So the Gemara's question is, we're checking for two caves, it should be 8 plus 8 plus 6, we're back to 22, what does it say, only 20? We have 22, not just 20. Answers the Gemara. We're only concerned about one alachsen, not two. And according to the second pshat that I just quoted from the Rishonim, it's very understandable. The Gemara's teretz is very gishmak. What was the whole reason these Rishonim said that we check on an alachsen? Because we want to make sure you do it right. So once you check for the first grave, balachsen, that got you accustomed to do it properly, to check properly, and therefore there's no reason to check the next one, balachsen. You already became accustomed to do it right, and therefore we'll check the first one, balachsen, which is 8. Then we'll have the chotzer, which is 6. And the next one will be 6, which will be 8 plus 6 plus 6 equal 20. That's one teretz. Rashi Breda of Idioma, Lailam of Shimonim. This Mishnah represents the opinion of Shimon. We asked if it represents the opinion of Shimon, the number ought to be 22. 8 plus 6 plus 8. Why does the Mishnah say the number is 20? Answers the Gemara. The first Mara that was found, the first set of graves that were found, were Nephilim with young children. And they, even if Shimon agrees, you don't have to check for more than 6 amos. So we'll have a situation of 6 for the first Mara, then you'll have 6 for the Chatzar, plus 8 for the second Mara, 6 plus 6 plus 8, equal 20. But ask the Gemara, if we see that the first Mara have Nephilim, and therefore you don't have to count for 8, you only have to count for 6, Hanami b'Nephilim, so why do we say that the second Mara is only Nephilim? So it should be 6 plus 6 plus 6, Tami Sar Havyan, which will be 18, not 20. Says the Gemara, Chad ben Nifli Aminin. To say that there was one Mara which was Nephilim, that's something that the Halacha accepts. Tati ben Nifli Aminin. To say that so many Nephilim are buried here, and that's why, even though normally the size of the grave is only, the size is 8, here it should be 6, that's a stretch. And that's why we say it once, but not twice. That's why it's 6 plus 6 plus 8 equal 20. We spoke about earlier in our Shir, when we were quoting the opinion of Rabbanan and Rav Shimon, we learned that Rabbanan say that if we have too many Niftarim buried in an area, we say that this is not a cemetery because they weren't buried in the proper formation. Rav Shimon says, Roim Kiel Einam, we look at the excess Niftarim as if they're not there. Says the Gemara, ask them, well, we have the same concept elsewhere in Halacha. The Tanan. We know that the Torah specifies that there's an area which is called a Keren, which is called a vineyard. We need to know what a vineyard is, as I've said many times, for two reasons. Number one, for Kali HaKeren. The Halach is into a vineyard, you're not allowed to bring different seeds. So if it's a vineyard, you have to distance those seeds 4 amos from the vineyard. If, on the other hand, it's not a vineyard, you're only going to have to distance the seeds 1 amma from the tree. That's one nafkamina. Another nafkamina we've quoted is that the Torah says, Mi ish ashenota kerem v'loi chilaloi. Who is the person that planted a new vineyard and didn't ever use it? Yelich v'yosher v'beisoi. He doesn't go out to war, but it has to be a real kerem. So kerem as we've described many times, the Mishnah Masechet Klayim, the Mishnayos Masechet Klayim speak about specific formation, what makes a vineyard. And there the Mishnah speaks about where you have too many trees. You push too many trees into this area. Rav Shimon Omer and a kerem. If you have too many trees, then it's not considered a kerem. The chomer, however the chomer disagree, raise a kerem. It doesn't lose the status of being a kerem. It is still a kerem. The royin as some tzayin ke'elim. Just what the halacha tells us is that the trees that are sort of pushed in there should be considered as if they're not there. So here we see, as the Gemara, kashub, drabotan, drabotan. In our case of a basic forest, drabotan say that if you have too many mason pushed in, it takes away the status of this area being a cemetery. The drabotan say that it doesn't take away the status. The kashub, Shimon, Rav Shimon. Here Rav Shimon said that if you have too many mason pushed in, it's still considered a basic forest. And there, Rav Shimon says, it's not considered, we don't look at it as if they don't belong there. And it loses the status of being a Karen. Answers the Gemara. Rav Shimon like Kasha. We can reconcile the opinions of Rav Shimon. Hasam, like not to insha adat lekar. There, a person who plants a tree doesn't plant a tree to uproot the tree. And since he doesn't plant the tree to uproot the tree, if there are too many trees for the area, sarai, it's not a kerem. Hacha, however, when it comes to burying a mace, rechamal and slon, zimnin de mesramele vanish majas. Sometimes the person passes away, and you need to bury him quickly, umikri umanchile. And they quickly bury him right there, they quickly bury him right where it is, even though it's too crowded, and he shouldn't have been buried there. Machloikes Rishonim, what Ben HaShemoshes means. Many Rishonim, most Rishonim, explain Ben HaShemoshes means Friday evening. It's almost Shabbos. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to bury a Nifter. So, and he was Nifter right before Shabbos. So they bury him at the first available spot, even though it's not a place which is really suitable for Kfura. Other Rishonim say it's not Tafka Friday evening. It's any night of the week. Because they were makbid, they were careful on halonas hameis to make sure that niftorim should not be left unburied overnight. And therefore, it's almost night. It's difficult to bury at night. They quickly bury him where they can. Actually, I saw from Rabbi Yoshev, based on this Gemara, interesting psak halacha. Rabbi Yoshev discusses the situation as follows. There was a person who had left clear instructions and had bought himself a plot to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And he died on Friday afternoon, which is right before Yontif. And he wouldn't be able to be taken to Eretz Yisrael either for 2 or maybe up to 3 days. Because if Shabbos is Erev Yontif, you have Shabbos, and then we have here in Chutz Laaretz 2 days Yontif. And even if Friday is Erev Yontif, it's also 2 days. So the question that was asked to Rabbi Yoshev is, what should be done? Should he be left unburied until Chol Hamoed, when his family could take him to Eretz Yisrael, or should be buried in Chutz Laaretz, even though that wasn't what he wanted? Rabbi Yoshev says, since our Gemara shows that they used to be so quick to bury a person, that if it's Ben HaShemoshes, we don't ask questions, we just bury him where we can, we see the importance, says Rabbi Yoshev, of immediately burying an individual. Of course, he discusses that if we bury him, I said this at the beginning of this year, if he's buried out tonight, perhaps he could be taken out and taken to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbanan, Rabbanan, Namle Kasha. Hacha, Kivan, the Menival, Loi Mikri Kever. There, since it's too crowded, for whatever reason, but if there are too many kfarim in the space, it's not called a basic forest. Hasam, Meima Amma, whereas there, Haimanai, the shopper, when a person plants too many trees, what he says is as follows. The tree that grows fine is fine. The large shopper and any tree that doesn't grow properly, lehevel etzivi, are used for wood and I'll uproot. So what the Rabbanan is saying is that a mess is not buried to be taken out. And therefore we have too many mesim. It doesn't have the formation of a beis hakfaros. That's not a beis hakfaros. On the other hand, trees are planted with the understanding or the knowledge that it may be necessary to uproot some of the trees, and therefore the concept of roin as a mitzoyim, kila enum, we look at some of the trees as if they don't exist there, is very understandable and acceptable. I saw a very interesting question that the Paiskim discuss based on this Gemara. Apparently, in Eretz Yisrael, where there's a shortage of good land to grow vines, what they do is as follows. They plant many, many vines in a crowded area. And then, because when they're young, they're very small, and therefore you could plant them close next to each other. And then, as they get bigger and they need more space, they uproot them and they replant them where they'll have more space. So many people want to suggest that here everybody will agree that this is considered a kerem. Because what was the reason Rav Shimon said it's not considered a kerem? Because Rav Shimon says people don't plant trees in order to uproot them. Here where it's clearly the derech to plant to uproot, even Rav Shimon will agree that it's roinus and tzoyim kila enum. That's how some paiskim learn. The Tzitz Eliezer says differently. Tzitz Eliezer says just the opposite. Here everybody will agree that it's not a kerem. Because when did Rabbanim say roinus and tzoyim kila enum? Because I know that some trees may not succeed, and those are the trees that I look at as if they don't exist. Here I'm hoping that they all will succeed. Just right now I don't need so much space. And therefore he says that over here everybody may agree that it's not a kerem. Hanun l'chamarcha peris, hanun l'chamarcha peris, hanun l'chamarcha peris. Says the Mishnah. Haim l'chaveroi. If somebody says, of course the price can say, it doesn't mean saying, could be writing the same. Base kor offer. He's selling to someone else an area of a base kor, which is an area of 100 amma by 50 amma. 100 by 50 amma. Ani moichalach. I'm selling you such an area. And Rashbam and the Rishonim frame the situation of the Mishnah. Certainly if it's, and this will all become clearer in Mitzvah Shem as we learn the Gemara also. Certainly if it's a situation where I only own this one piece of property, so it's obvious that this is the piece of property I'm selling you, I have nothing else to sell. Furthermore, if I specified and I showed you that this is the piece of property that I'm selling you, again, the issues that will be discussed in our Mishnah are not relevant. The question of our Mishnah is in a situation where I tell you base core offer, and the Rashbam emphasizes that I said offer. The Rashbam emphasizes that I said offer. Many Rishonim disagree with Rashbam. Tosfos and other Rishonim say that an offer is not what makes the difference. I said base core offer on the Moichalach. And now, in this area that I sold you, Harisham Nekoim, Asar Amukim, Asar Tfachim, if there were ditches that were 10 Tfachim deep, Oisloim, or there were racks, Gavoyim Yutfachim, that are 10 Tfachim tall, so since they're considered independent, separate areas, Ein Nimnodim Imoy. They're not considered part of the area that I sold to you. Pachs Mikan, but if these are less than 10 tefachim deep or high, Nimdadim Ima, they're considered, as the Gemara will explain tomorrow, Shir, part of the entire area I sold you. Machloikas Rishonim, the Mishnah speaks about the depth and the height. 10 tefachim high, 10 tefachim deep, then they're considered separate areas. What about the width? So some Rishonim say it doesn't make a difference how wide it is. If it's 10 tefachim high or 10 tefachim deep, it's considered not part of what I sold you. Other Rishonim disagree, and they say it has to be at least 4 tefachim wide. Where is this very relevant? Mr. Brewer discusses the Shaila. Mr. Brewer says that the halacha is, one is not allowed to daven in a place where there's tzoya, unless the tzoya is in a separate rishus. What does a separate rishus mean? That it's either in a separate place that's 10 tefachim high or 10 tefachim deep. So what would be the halacha if you're davening in a place with a soya and it's on a platform that's 10 tefachim high or it's in a hole 10 tefachim deep, but it's not 4 tefachim wide? What would be the halacha? So it's based on this machlokes rishonim. So the Mishnah Berurah says, l'chatchila, unless the place where the soya is 4 tefachim wide, you shouldn't daven there. But if you did, as long as it was 10 tefachim high or deep, you don't have to daven again. Now the question that comes up is a very obvious question. Three-way machlokes rishonim, actually. I bought from you this big piece of land, and there were these ditches or these racks that were 10 tefachim high, 10 tefachim deep, which we say are not included in the sale. So who gets those ditches? So I saw three-way machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say that the buyer gets them, but he doesn't have to pay for those areas. Other rishonim say, no, the meicher, the seller, keeps them. They're not included in the sale, and he keeps them. The Ravid's opinion is that the buyer has to take him, but he doesn't pay the same price as he paid for good property, nice level land. They're obviously worth less, and he has to pay the seller that amount. The Rishonim don't understand the Ravid's opinion. How could I force you to buy something you didn't want to buy? So Rebbe Mefarshim explained the opinion of the Ravid is that that's included in the terms of the sale, that I understood that if they're going to be racks or ditches of this size, I will buy them, albeit not at the same price of everything else. However, says the Mishnah, Vim Amaloi, if what was said when doing the sale, kibbeis kofer, not the extra kof that was added, kibbeis kofer, afilo hayisham, the koim, amukim, yois mesar tvachim, even if there are ditches deeper than 10, or sloyim, or higher than 10 tefachim, haray elin dadin ma'ad included. But as we will learn tomorrow in the shir, beis Hashem, that's only if they don't equal 4 kav. But even if you use the words kebeis kor offer, but you have ditches, you have so many ditches and you have so many stones, then in the beis kor you have 4 kav of ditches and racks, then the halacha is that the buyer doesn't have to accept that kind of property.